church outside the walls where all can safely be. A place of worship, hope, and heart where we forge community. Built of prayer and word and service, a family of God's grace. Let us now proclaim from neighbor to neighbor, all are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place.
Good morning, Saugatuck. God is good all the time. Yes, God is very good. Thank you for joining us today on WFCC 89.7, your home for loving God, loving each other, and serving our community here on the glittering coast of Lake Michigan. I'm Pastor Sarah Turlow, and joining us today for this week's worship broadcast is the very talented Kristen Boyce, who will be accompanying our hymn singing. Kathy Brockington, who will be sharing with us from God's Word, today reading from Genesis, a love story. And for all you kids out there hanging out with us in the church parking lot, we have kite building happening on the front lawn. Yes, in about 8 minutes, after a little all-family prayer and praise, we will send you on over for some creativity time. Our on-site crossing guard, Mrs. Cindy Rao, is on road patrol today, helping our kids, and our kids at heart, be safe as they cross the road that happens to run right through our grand open sanctuary here at the church. It is a glorious day today, hot and sunny, but boy, oh boy, is it ever sweet to see one another again. And just a note at the top of the broadcast, if you are listening from home, sheltering in place from this pandemic, please know that we are the body of Christ scattered, and we are still the body of Christ united. That might sound like an oxymoron, but it is true. We hold each other in our hearts as a single family of God. Now, friends and family, let's prepare our hearts for worship today.
Built of prayer and word and service, a family of God's grace. Let us now proclaim from neighbor to neighbor, all are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in.
I welcome you to join me today in speaking our call to worship. Brothers and sisters, boys and girls, come and worship. Even if you're tired and worn out, come and worship. Lay down the heavy things you are carrying. Come and worship. Listen to what Jesus wants to tell you. Come and worship. See if you can discover how Jesus wants to use you. Come and worship. For Jesus is humble and gentle, and he will give us everything we need to follow him. Sisters and brothers in Christ, it's time to sing together. During our opening hymn today, our communion helpers are going to be coming around, passing our cups of juice and little snack baggies of bread. If you brought your own elements from home, just wave off our communion helpers. That's just fine. Hopefully, we will get everyone supplied for the communion portion of our service just a little later on. All right, let's sing together. If you would like, you can stand. Our opening hymn is Lord of All Hopefulness. Let's raise our voices in prayer today. Lord of peace and hope, we open our hearts to you this day. Be with us as we hear your words of inspiration and healing. Guide our hearts and spirits as we seek to be witnesses to your redeeming and reconciling love. And let us raise our voices together again in the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, kiddos, we want to make sure you have plenty of time to work on your kites. So if you would like to head over to the front of the church lawn, you can walk over to our crossing guard, Mrs. Rao, who will help you get across the street there and take you on over. Congregation, let's bless the kids as they go by singing a verse of Jesus Loves Me.
Our scripture reading today is from the book of Genesis, chapters 24, verses 34 to 38, 42 to 49, and 58 to 67. This is the nuts and bolts of the story. They left out, we're leaving out a lot of other details. Starting at verse 34. So he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master, and he has become wealthy. He has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female slaves, camel and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and he has given him all that he has. My master made me swear, saying, you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I live, but you shall go to my father's house, to my kindred, and get a wife for my son. The son, of course, is Isaac. I came today to the spring and said, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, if now you will only make successful the way I am going, I am standing here by the spring of water. Let the young woman who comes out to draw, to whom I shall say, please give me a little water from your jar to drink, and who will say to me, drink, and I will draw for your camels also. Let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. Before I had finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebekah coming out of with her water jar on her shoulder. And she went down to the spring and drew. I said to her, please let me drink. She quickly let down her jar from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will also water your camels. So I drank, and she also watered the camels. Then I asked her, whose daughter are you? She said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him. So I put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her arms. Then I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had led me by the right way to obtain the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. Now then, if you will deal loyally and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me so that I may turn either to the right hand or to the left. And they called Rebekah and said to her, will you go with this man? She said, I will. So they sent away their sister Rebekah and her nurse, along with Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, may you, our sister, become thousands of myriads. May your offspring gain possession of the gates of their foes. Then Rebekah and her maids rose up, mounted the camels, and followed the man. Thus the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now Isaac had come from Beer Lahai-Roi and was settled in the Negev. Isaac went out in the evening to walk in the field, and looking up, he saw camels coming. And Rebekah looked up, and when she saw Isaac, she slipped quickly from the camel and said to the servant, who is the man over there walking in the field to meet us? The servant said, it is my master. So she took her veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. He took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. This is the reading of the word.
Thank you, Kathy. Congregation, let's consider our reading from Genesis today. Rebecca's online dating profile would read something like this. Strong, independent woman, filled with compassion and a cunning spirit, willing to travel, accompanied by a nurse and maid to care for babies to be one day, able to ride camels and dismount gracefully. Isaac's would probably read something like this. 40-year-old mama's boy, bachelor with keys to the kingdom. Intelligent, although sometimes entirely naive, exceptionally loyal, and seeking a wife with a very specific set of qualities. She must be willing to move and accept a marriage proposal through a mediator, sight unseen, must be a cousin, and must worship the one true God. Isaac and Rebecca. The scene that Kathy read for us this morning, this is their meet-cute. That moment when a future couple first encounters one another. In the film world, this moment is sometimes adorable, sometimes awkward, and yet always filled with hope. Isaac and Rebecca's meet-cute is all of that and more. Remember when Rebecca first laid eyes on Isaac? The verse simply said that she got down from her camel. In other translations, it suggests that she dismounted quickly. But the translators are all being kind to her, for in the Hebrew, there is no mistaking the fact that she just plain fell off her camel. The story goes on to say that she then put on a veil and covered herself for modesty's sake before meeting her future husband. But I think we all know that she was really hiding her embarrassed blush and riding her tumbled clothing. Isaac and Rebecca's story is meant to charm us. The little nuances of their meeting are just wonderful. For one, Abraham's servant found Rebecca at the well, the place where women went to find partners. It was the Match.com of the day. It wasn't Isaac's choice to send someone out to fetch a bride. It was Abraham's. Isaac wasn't even consulted in this matter. But it was Rebecca's choice to get married. Even Rebecca's father, who traditionally had the final say, placed the decision solely in her hands. Progressive. And did you notice the exchange of jewelry? While today we exchange wedding bands, Rebecca was given a bracelet and a nose ring. Yes, you can set aside your rosy cheek, precious moment, clean-cut image. I encourage you to picture Rebecca a bit more exotic. And finally, Abraham's servant asked God for a sign as to who should marry Isaac. He asked God to send him a woman that would offer him a drink, and more so, offer to water his camels. Watering the human was easy. The camels, on the other hand, they drink about 30 to 50 gallons of water at a time, and he had camels, as in plural. She would have been drawing water all day long for this stranger. Such was her sense of hospitality. Isaac's name means laughter, and so it seems that Rebecca is his fitting partner. The scripture tells us distinctly that he married her and he loved her. Old Testament partnerships are often messy and challenging, but these two simply loved each other. Their story is meant to charm us and to fill us with confidence. Abraham and Sarah were adventurers and dreamers. They were the first open to hearing God's whispers. They would overcome the odds to begin a holy nation together, and it's Isaac and Rebecca that would pick up the baton from them. Together they would take this vast promise of God's people, as many as the stars, remember, and they would give birth quite literally to the distinct nation of Israel. Did you notice that every single person in this story seems to recognize the hand of God upon them? From Abraham, who commissioned his servant to go to the land of his kin, to Bethuel and Laban, who recognize that this is all God's doing, to Rebecca herself, who acts with courage and faith to go with the servant to a home that she knew nothing about. Charm and purpose and confidence. That's their story. People of God, I wonder, what gives you confidence these days? These are unsettling times, to say the least. As we gather today, the headlines speak about surging COVID-19 cases in the southern and western U.S., as well as in South America. There are disturbing videos circulating of police violence against Black and Brown Americans and against those who protest such violence. There are millions of Americans out of work, and there is widespread uncertainty about what the coming months will bring, especially as a contentious presidential election looms on the horizon. Given all of this, it's not surprising that a recent survey done by the Associated Press finds that Americans today are more unhappy now than at any time in the last 50 years. And so in light of that, I ask, what gives you confidence these days? That's the question that this story had me pondering this week. Our world is topsy-turvy, and I find myself looking for spiritual and social mooring points. Places where I know I am secure, where I know I am stable, where I am certain I won't go adrift or float away. Points that anchor me in God's promises. Points that are as sure and as ready as Isaac and his bride. What gives you that certain, confident feeling? I've never lived or ministered during a pandemic before, so I'm trying to take notice of these things when they pass my way. For me, it's Psalm 85. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. What gives me confidence? It's Dr. Lori Burkholz. Her social media posts teach us all about how to stay healthy and yet still function in this pandemic. It's kept me grounded. Nothing sensationalized, just facts and common sense and encouragement. It's Cindy Rao and Phyllis If, who have been sewing hundreds of masks for essential workers and neighbors in our community. And I know our city is safer because of their efforts. It's our city government that made the bold and kind choice to fly a pride flag outside City Hall throughout June, reminding me that humanity and heart are always relevant. It's protesters, masked up and taking to the streets to remind the world that we are not done with building and shaping a world where a person can be regarded and judged and respected for the content of their character, rather than the color of their skin. It's you. It's calls and notes in the mail. It's front porch visits and cookie drop-offs. It's my garden and my dog and my husband steadfastly following me around on recording days, lugging equipment, and on most days reminding me to weirdly celebrate this pandemic as a creative time. Just as the people surrounding Isaac and Rebecca's meet-cute and emerging relationship, I too see God's hand in the here and the now. Our world is a mess, and it might stay that way for a while. There is a sickness of the body and a sickness of the soul about, each casting a long shadow of grief. But nevertheless, I see God's redeeming presence turning our community towards the better. I wonder what will happen to the church in the coming months and years. Our congregation is simultaneously scattered, shrunk, and exploded exponentially. Maybe you noticed, but my pulpit today is fashioned from the AV cart in the Sunday school room. We are broadcasting, recording, and streaming all at once. I never in a million years pictured myself as a radio or televangelist. I don't have the cadence, and I don't dare ask you to send me your retirement savings. But God Almighty, I pray every day that our holy, if glitchy, efforts bring someone comfort and make someone think about the tenacity of the gospel message. And so what I ask again is giving you confidence. Where are your mooring points in all of this? We are all going to have to answer that question for ourselves, and I encourage you to think about it and share it with someone that you love today. Perhaps we can help each other see the purpose and see the providence and see the redemption in it all. Family of God, I think I'd like to sing now. We haven't been able to sing together in months on end. And it feels so free to be outside, spread out, lifting praise to God in this grand sanctuary. So for now, I'll say amen. And our next hymn will lead us into our communion celebration. So please join me in Come Share the Lord. Let's speak together our prayer of confession. Merciful and loving God, we are so grateful for your redeeming love for each one of us. We confess that there have been times of doubt in our spirits. We confess that when the times of difficulties are upon us, we don't always believe that you will take our burdens. We feel we have to always be in control, trying to demand the desired outcome. Help us to place our trust in you. Remind us that you surround us continually with your care. You never just let us go to drift aimlessly about. Open our hearts and spirits again in your healing powers. For we pray these things in the name of Jesus, the one who will take our burdens and give us peace. Amen. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took up a loaf of bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body. Eat of this, all of you. Do this in remembrance of me." And later on that same night, after dinner was finished, he took up a cup and he poured it full of wine and he passed it to his disciples, his community, and said, "This is the cup of new covenant. This is the cup of new relationship with me. Take it and drink deeply. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise today, we share an echo of a meal first shared long, long ago. Might this juice and this bread bring you into fullness of relationship, bring us to a place of connection, bring us to a place where we can celebrate our grace, our hearts washed clean, our restored life and spirit filled with second chances. Friends, enjoy this communion celebration, for we, like Christ's disciples, drink deeply and eat a big old chunk of that bread because Jesus told us to do just that. Thank you, community. Let's pray together. Thank you, God, for this moment, for this place of connection, for this meal, for it has filled us, body, mind, and soul. In Christ's name, we give thanks. Amen. Congregation, let's join together in our hymn of response. Take my life and let it be. Congregation, please join me in prayer. God of this place and this time, we thank you for an Independence Day weekend of fun and memory, pops and bangs, an extra time to sit in the AC drinking lemonade with family. We give you thanks for the good dreaming that's happening in this country. The dreaming that envisioned a land of opportunity, a land in which to grow in its understanding of liberty and justice and freedom. We give you thanks for all who sacrificed in so many ways to create and sustain such dreaming and striving that's at the heart of our nation. We thank you for the dreaming that happens today as we continue to strive and create. Lord, hear the prayers of our hearts today. We pray for those who are ill or injured in need of your healing mercies. We pray for people suffering from the effects of COVID-19. And Lord, bless our medical professionals and protect them. Bless them with multiplied energy and passion for what they do. We pray for those who are mourning today. God, be the lamp in their darkened home and the strong arm to which they can turn. And we pray for our community, the restaurant workers and shopkeepers and hotel and B&B workers. Bless them with a deep sense of hospitality and help them to keep a cautious eye on their patrons, that we might be able to make safe and wise decisions together. We pray for families who have children home for the summer, who are balancing work and family life from their homes. God, open doors and opportunities. God, we pray for our community leaders and our state leaders and our national leaders. We pray that they are inspired and that they lead with compassion and wisdom. And Lord, as always, we leave room for the prayers of our hearts. Colorful Creator, strengthen us to be your disciples. Help us to slow down and make room in our lives for you to speak and guide and encourage. We thank you for being our God. In Christ's name, amen. Friends, we will not be having a formal time of gathering our gifts or offerings today. We thought about it, but the idea of sending a volunteer up to everyone's window with a bucket extended seemed a bit awkward. When we pass the plate one to another in the pew, it feels mutual and connected. A bucket tapping on your window did not. But I do hope that you will continue to support the ministry of the church. You can give by mailing a check to the church or by downloading the Tithely app upon your phone. That way you can give electronically. That's what Tim and I do. We set our tithe to be automatically withdrawn for our account around the middle of the month. That way we never have to think about remembering a checkbook or shaking our cup holders in our car. Now let's take a moment to thank God for our blessings, which are many. Please join me in singing the doxology. We have just a few announcements before our closing hymn. The first is that next Saturday, July 11th, you are invited to help come out to the local Habitat for Humanity build and lend a hand from 8 a.m. till noon. We are working on the Cadman House. They had the wall-raising ceremony for the build a couple weeks ago. Now volunteers are making steady progress to get that house finished for that wonderful family. So if you're interested in participating, please let me know by Wednesday so we have a count for Habitat for Humanity. Space is limited. They're trying to keep the group small, so let me know as soon as possible. Also, Lectio at Lunchtime is back, meeting in the building. We're meeting in the Fellowship Hall. You can bring your lunch. We are spreading out, having our lunch, and doing our Bible study together. That's Tuesdays at 12:30. You are welcome to join us for that. And then finally, just a reminder to keep your eyes peeled for upcoming fellowship gathering opportunities. We will hopefully be doing some campfire backyard gatherings starting pretty soon. We were going to launch that this week, but with some increased case numbers, we're going to be delaying that probably a week or two. So just keep your eyes peeled for news on the campfire gatherings. Let's just be flexible for that. Are there any other announcements before we have our closing hymn? You can lean out your window and holler them at me. All right, well, let's sing our closing hymn today. He leadeth me. Thank you. Congregation, I invite you to speak with me, our church covenant. We covenant with the Lord and one with another, and do bind ourselves in the presence of God to walk together in all his ways, according as he is pleased to reveal himself unto us in his blessed word of truth. Go now and be the church, for your work, your witness, your welcome is just beginning here and now. Amen and amen. Go in peace.